We're grateful that you're here this morning. I want to join a big welcome. I want to join Ginger and Pastor Ken in welcoming you this morning. My name's Chris Carter. Everybody calls me Brother Chris. I love the opportunity to be a part of the body of Christ. That's more important than any title we could have, is our place in the family. So I welcome you this morning, and it's a joy to be here at 9 o'clock. I haven't been here in a while at 9, and it's good to see a lot of saints that are awake. This morning, I want you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Colossians. I'll be reading from chapter 2 and from chapter 4. This message has somewhat been prepared with our seniors or our graduates in mind. I would say the same thing to you that I would say to them this morning as we move forward in this next chapter of all of our lives. Pastor Shane has done a masterful job the last 4 weeks laying out the book of Colossians in detail, and I have the wrap-up sermon. I'm not going to try to repeat everything that Pastor Shane says. This will be a very simple message, and it's entitled, Our Walk and Talk. That's something everybody can remember and press into their hearts today. Our walk and our talk. First, our walk. Chapter 2 of Colossians, verses 6 and 7. Paul says, As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Pay attention to the word received. Christ has to be received. He's a gift to us. Gifts have to be received in order for them to become ours. And then he says, so walk in him. Walk is Paul's favorite word for live. That's really a synonym for live. He's saying walk in Christ. Live in Christ. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Paul says that we as children of God who have received Christ, we are to walk in him in faith, trusting Jesus as the Lord of every aspect of our lives. Christ is to be center. He's really to be the soul of our lives because he's supreme. And that's a key word in the book of Colossians. I know Pastor Shane mentioned that early on in the series. The words supreme or preeminent are key words to Paul in the book of Colossians. And here's the problem. The Colossian believers were in danger of moving away from seeing and placing Christ as supreme and preeminent and center of their lives because they lived in a worldly culture that had an endless list of substitutes that they replaced Christ with. Things like legalism and philosophy and intellectualism and carnality and selfishness. But the end of all of those paths that we choose is a dead end because Christ must be supreme and preeminent in every aspect of our lives. God wants to draw us close to himself through Christ. He wants us to feel his presence. I love the book of Colossians. I love what I call the prepositions of intimacy. When we place Christ at the center and soul of our lives, when we really walk with him, we walk, Paul says, we walk in him. We walk by him. We walk through him. We walk for him. And we walk with him. And the greatest tragedy of any human heart is to be, another preposition, without Christ. Paul says that Christ lives in us. He is the hope of glory. So hope comes from having Christ received and walked with in our lives. That's when we walk in the greatest hope. There's no substitute for receiving and walking with Jesus Christ. And when we do receive Christ and we're in that process of walking with Him, our hearts are radically changed. How many of you know you're not the same person as you were before Christ came into your heart? There's a change. It's not only our hearts that are changed, but our habits are changed. There's some things that change when Christ lives in us. There's some habits that we lay aside. There's part of the old life that we lay aside because we know it's not beneficial or helpful or God's will for us. We also know that when Christ is received and walked with it, there's a dynamic that changes in our homes. Our homes are radically changed. And if this world needs anything today, it's some homes that put Christ at the center of everything they do in life. Being a Christian is far more than about just going to church. It's about being radically transformed. And there's a serious problem in the Christian church these days in that we don't understand that. We practice what the late Dr. Dallas Willard called vampire Christianity. That's when we want just a little blood for our sins, just enough for eternal life, but we really don't want, with all of our hearts, a total transfusion of the power and life of Jesus' character. But that's what we need, isn't it? We need a total transfusion of Jesus' will, His thoughts, His emotions, His behavior, and His social interactions. When Jesus was with somebody, they knew that He was different. They knew that there was something so life-giving about Him. It's time to throw off the vampire and receive a total transfusion of Christ's life and power. Pastor Shane mentioned, related to our walk, when he was going through chapter 3, he made this comment. He says it's immoral for us to say we believe something and then on purpose to live another way. I never thought about that being immoral, but I couldn't help but think of this story. There were two brothers who were the sorriest men in three counties. There was nothing they wouldn't do. There was nothing they hadn't already done. They lied, they cussed, they fought, they cheated, they drank, and they chased women. They literally did it all, and everybody knew that. But time passed, and one of the brothers got sick, and he died. And the surviving brother asked the local pastor to conduct his brother's funeral. And the pastor replied, I don't know if I can do that. Everyone knows how sorry you two boys have lived. The brother said, Preacher, you just have to do this. You've got to do it. And if somewhere in the funeral sermon you can manage to say that my brother was a real saint, I'm going to give you $1,000. The preacher said, I'm not sure how I can do this, honestly, but I think I can help. The day of the funeral arrived and the church was packed out, not to celebrate the life of the one that had gone on, but to see what the preacher was going to say about this guy. When he stood to preach, the pastor said, all of you know how sorry this man lived. There's not anything he wouldn't do. He lied, he cussed, he fought, he cheated, he stole, he drank, he chased women. He did it all. But compared to his brother who's sitting right over there, he was a real saint. How many of you know preachers get creative when you write checks? Amen? Here's what I want to say about our walk. I want to ask you this morning. This is so important when you think of Colossians related to our walk. Is Christ supreme in your life this morning? See, we all want to be called saints. We want to be thought of as saints. We want to be thought of as good people, godly people. We all want to be remembered that way. But oftentimes we don't really want to live as saints because there's a cost to be paid. It's not easy. Christ paid the price on the cross, but we have to lean into Christ and trust Him with all of our lives. And so often there's things we just want God to remove out of our lives. And God says, no, I want you to trust me in the middle of what you're going through in your life. And I want you to intentionally put me at the center of your heart, at the center of your habits, at the center of your home. God is looking for us to cry out to him and say, God, I want you to be supreme in my life. I want to live this thing that I believe. I want to live this thing that I sing about. I don't want to just be a member of a church. I want the Lord of the church to live strong in my life. Does anybody feel that way this morning? God, I want a total transfusion of your will and of your mind and of your heart in my life. And yes, it's a process, but how many of you know every process has to start with somewhere in your life? And God responds to hearts that long for him. The greatest struggle we have in the Christian church is that we too, because we're so influenced by an endless list of substitutes that have put everything else but Christ in the center and soul of our lives. It's a real blessing when the Holy Spirit begins to call us towards God's heart again and we say from the bottom of our hearts, God, I need you more than I need anything that this world has. I want to be rooted in you. I want to be established in you. I want to be built up as a member of the body of Christ, as a living stone that you've placed in the body. I want to be built up. God, I want you to be proud of the church because we're following you with all of our hearts. So the first part of this message is about our walk. Are you walking with Christ right now? Is he supreme and center? The second part. Somebody say, I got that, Brother Chris.
I got it.
I do want to say this before I move on to our talk. Christ understands that we struggle. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit, who is forever working in our lives, calling us back to what is most important as members of his family. Don't be discouraged with yourself when you fall, or when you fail, or when you stumble, or when so many things move to the center of your life. That's just simply time to come home and say, God, I want you to move all of this stuff out, and I want to be with you, and I want you to be with me. I want to experience the intimacy of God, a life of intimacy. I want to live for you and by you, through you, and with you. I don't want to live a life without Christ. And I can say this before I move on. You were meant to live a life with God, personally. This is not just about doctrine, not just about a God who's distant and out there somewhere. It's about a God who lives in us, and he is our hope of glory. Our walk, and then our talk. Chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Paul says, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside. He's talking about unbelievers. There's a certain way that we are to talk and to enter into conversation with those who are outside the family, who don't know the joy of walking with Christ. We're responsible for our speech inside the body of Christ, but there's even a greater responsibility when it comes to those who are outside the family. He says, walk in wisdom with those who are outside. Redeem the time. Don't waste an opportunity to share Christ by the way you live and talk with those who do not know him. And then he says how our speech is to be. He says, let your speech, let your conversation, let your talk, that which comes out of your mouth, always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 12, 34, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. We know from our experience that what is in the heart comes out the mouth. There's no way around it. How many of you realize that? How many of you have been told that? I love what one writer says. He says, our tongues are the tattletales of the true condition of our hearts. And so often we use our tongues to gripe and to grumble and to grate on other people's nerves, irritating them. And sometimes we use our tongues even to gossip. Walter Winchell says, gossip is the art of saying nothing in a way that leaves practically nothing unsaid. Mildred was the church gossip. Self-appointed monitor of the church's morals, she kept sticking her nose into the business of other people. People did not like the way she conducted her life, but they left her alone because they were afraid if they challenged her that she would begin to talk about them too. So they said nothing. But she made a mistake when she accused Frank, a new member of the church, of being an alcoholic after she saw his old pickup truck parked in front of the town's only bar one afternoon. She emphatically told everyone, including Frank, that everyone that saw it there would know exactly what he was doing. Frank was a man of few words. He said absolutely nothing. He turned and walked away. He didn't explain himself. He didn't defend himself. He didn't deny the accusation. He said nothing. But later that evening, Frank quietly parked his pickup truck in front of Mildred's house, walked away, and left it there all night. Somebody say, you gotta love Frank. You gotta love Frank. Folks, these tongues have been given to bless God, to praise God, and they're to be instruments of righteousness for us to bless the people that God has put in our lives, especially outsiders who don't know the reality of walking with Christ. Maybe they haven't received Christ. And they're to be used as a way to build others up that are inside the body of Christ. We need a revival that brings us to our knees when it comes to our tongues, so that our tongues can be submitted to the lordship of Christ. That there's an awareness in our lives every time we speak of what a privilege it is to be able to shape words that have impact in people's lives. We need to learn to speak well. And when we don't speak well, we are unwell ourselves. Paul says, let your speech always be with grace. Our words are to be graceful. They're to be grace-filled. Florence LaTower, a popular speaker and a great encourager, was once asked to do a children's message on the spot. Can you imagine being called up out of the congregation on the spur of the moment? She said she prayed, Lord, help me. And as she walked to the front, the Lord put Ephesians 4:29 in her mind, which mirrors Colossians that I just read. And Paul tells the Colossians, use your mouth not to speak rotten words, but speak words that build up and speak words that minister grace to the hearers. So she gets up front to these children, and there was one quiet, shy little girl who said nothing for every question she asked. And she finally asked the children, kids, what does it mean to speak words that minister grace to the hearers? And this little shy girl stood and she said, what it means to me is that our words should be like a present, little silver boxes with a bow on top. Folks, that's what our words are to be. Our walk is important, the way we live our lives. One of the things that's most important is our talk, especially if we've received Christ and we profess to walk with Him. He wants to fill our hearts and He wants to fill our mouths. Mother Teresa once said, every word that doesn't increase the light and love of God contributes to the darkness. I want to share this story with you. It's personal. Colonel Cleve McClary lay in a hospital room in Japan some 50 years ago, a wounded Marine in the Vietnam War. His left eye and his left arm had been lost, along with his will to live. Billy Casper, who was a well-known golfer at the time, on the PGA circuit or tour, made it part of his life mission and his walk with Christ as a believer to go to war hospitals and walk the halls and visit the rooms of wounded warriors. What a metaphor for life. How many of you know you don't have to be on a battlefield, a physical battlefield, in order to come across some wounded warriors? Folks, we are those wounded warriors sometimes, and they're all around us. Some of the people that irritate us the most are not bad people, but they're wounded warriors. And they hurt other people with their tongues because they themselves are hurt. And they need somebody that knows how to speak a word to them that's full of grace and power and that can even take their irritation. Well, Billy Casper was visiting Cleve McClary's room. And he recalls how Mr. Casper came up to him after greeting him and put his arm around him and leaned into him and said, "Young man, God is going to use you in a great way. Don't give up." He said Mr. Casper thanked him for his service to his country and said, "God bless you, and don't forget, God is going to use you, and don't give up." Well, somehow McClary found resolve to fight. He survived. He left that hospital and he settled in his native South Carolina home. And in 2014, a mutual friend of McClary's and Casper's arranged for them to have a reunion after all of those years at the Masters tournament in Augusta, Georgia. Without their knowledge, the two of them saw one another and they literally ran towards one another and gave a long emotional hug. And McClary told Casper that he had thought of him almost every day and his words during those 50 years, and he said, "I was ready to die, and your words to stay strong and find faith in God saved my life." Today, the Colonel is a motivational speaker in all 50 states. Brother Don, you have that picture? I had the opportunity to meet Colonel Cleve McClary when I was a senior in high school. That is me. Somebody asked me, they said, somebody told me last night, "You lost your wig, Brother Chris." I said, "No, I said, I haven't lost any hair. My face has just gotten bigger." But I remember that night, he was at the Fellowship of Christian Athletes banquet where I was receiving a special award that night in 1984. I don't remember his speech, but I remember these words. And let me say this to you. You cannot remember everything you hear in a sermon. In fact, you may not remember much of it. You may not remember everything you have in your devotions. But I'm going to say this to you and be very, very strategic in saying this. When God speaks to your heart and you know it's God, you better write that word down. And you better walk in that word. And you better seek to live by that word. Because that word is a gift to you. It's a gift to you. And we better, as the people of God, we better be deeply rooted in God's Word. We're more rooted in the world in our own way than we are in God's Word so often. But it ought to be a yearning in our hearts to say, "God, root me and establish me in your Word so that when the storms of life come, there's nothing that can move me." I love rooted and established. Cooper Robinson was here last night, and his son and Hart and him are building a big boat dock. It's kind of an investment where boats can park, and they've had to create the pier and the dock. And to do that, you've got to drive these big concrete or wooden pillars down deep below the water. You can't even see what's down there. And I said, "Cooper," I said, "how do those things stay? I mean, you can't see what you're doing." He said, "There's the largest machine that you can imagine, and that thing takes those concrete pillars and it drives them deep below the surface of the water." He said, "Our pillars are in there almost 20 feet below the surface of the earth." That's how rooted God wants us to be. And we can stand anything when God's word is our guide. Here's what McClary said. He said, "You never know what impact you can have on another human being." Folks, that sends my heart to shouting. I don't preach this morning because I happen to have the title of pastor. I don't preach because I don't have anything else to do on the weekends. I don't preach because I'm trying to amass a big bank account. I'm telling you, I preach because I want and believe that the Word of God is the most important thing in our lives. It is important. This is not just about getting a nice little lesson to make us feel better. This is a message of transformation that the Word of God has power to save us. Not just eternally, but right now. It changes our hearts and our habits and our homes and even the way we talk to other people. I want to finish with this. He says, let your words be seasoned with salt. Sometimes when we're talking to unbelievers, even believers, we think the most important thing when we speak is to show people how spiritual we are or how smart we are. So we think if we quote some pious platitudes or share the scripture that we have memorized, or if we've got a plan of salvation that's neatly rehearsed and well formulated, that's going to change somebody. When we speak words that are seasoned with salt, we are putting our hearts and minds on that person as a unique, special person, that they are special to God, that God sees them even when they're wandering and they've gone astray and they're lost. And our conversation is sparkling with joy because we know the joy that it is to walk with Christ. There's a genuineness to our words. We're not speaking to impress anybody. There's a genuineness. There's a realness. There's even some confession to our words. How many of you know people in the world don't need one more Christian that thinks they're God's gift to the world? Our words need to be filled with wit and humor because people don't like people that are wound so tight that all they can do is think about themselves. And God says, I need somebody that's got some seasoning. I love seasoning on my meat. How many of you are like that? We buy cheap meat usually. I got 3 kids and they eat a lot. I buy cheap meat and put as much sauce and seasoning as I can on it. And they don't know the difference. Be seasoned. Let your words be seasoned and know how you ought to give an answer to each person. Remember when you're talking for the Lord, remember their uniqueness and how God loves them and how God made a way for them. And you're just a part of speaking His life-giving, loving words to their lives. But often we forget about speaking His words because we're so busy criticizing other people for what they're not, and we don't have time to love them for who they are. Folks, our walk and our talk are very important. So I ask you as I close, is Christ supreme in your tongue, in the way you're talking about yourself and others and God? Are we really using these tongues for the glory of God? Wish I could preach longer, but I know some of you are saying, thank God you can't. Would you just say with me as we close our walk and talk? Graduates, that's about as simple as I can make it. Your walk with Christ is the most important thing in your life, not what you're going to do as a career move. Your career without Christ will be empty, no matter how much money you make. But your career, whatever God has called you to do, when you find that and it's matched with your passion, I'm telling you, God uses everybody who's a child of God. And what a joy it is to be placed in the family today. And I pray that you leave here really pressing the word in. In fact, I want you to lay your hand on your heart right now. I don't want this to be another sermon that you heard. I want it to be one that's pressed into your heart. If there's any redemptive value, if Christ through His word has spoken to you about your heart or your habits or your home or your future, something in your life, say, God, press this in. Let this be one of those days that I said, God, this was a word for you, from you for me, and I want it to make a difference in my life. Father, would you bless every heart, bless every home today. Bless our graduates and bless those of us who are still in the university of adversity, struggling to figure out what we need to do next. Help us come home to you fully. God, would you totally transform us? In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen.